the question was asked, is there a defined role as far as whether a wife should be home or working or doing both? And it's a broad question, so we'll address it slowly and in parts. But for step one, the general structure that Chazal had anticipated for a home is that the husband works and the wife brings up the kids and takes care of the needs at home. Meaning that is the basic structure that Chazal anticipated. This idea today that women want to go out and work, so there's a basis for it and it has its merits. Today, if you're going to live in Jerusalem, it's very hard to make ends meet on one person's salary. But you have to understand that people are losing a lot on the side because who's bringing up the kids? So some jobs allow a wife to come home and be there for the kids, but in most circumstances, the child ends up having very few waking hours with his parent. He's spending part of his day in school or in Gan, and then he comes home and someone else brings him home and someone else feeds him lunch and someone else takes care of him, and the parent comes home and has maybe an hour to an hour and a half with the kid. So you have a situation that the generation is being raised by caretakers. That's not good. A child needs parents.
Gan is daycare.
Gan is a daycare, yeah. Kindergarten, daycare. A parent needs to send a child to daycare for 2 hours, for 4 hours, I understand. But when a child has most of his life without his parents, where his connection to his parents is only for an hour and a half a day, so we're losing something major. If it's warranted, fine. But if it's just because people want to get ahead, they're making a big mistake. Children need parents. Children need eye contact with parents. Children need warmth from parents. Children need to share with their parents what went on. Children need to get on their parents' nerves a little bit. It's important. They need to come and ask their parents about 50 questions an hour. Come to my house. We had a guest once who sat there and timed it. I didn't know what he was doing. He said, you know, you don't go 7 seconds without a question. How do you eat anything? It was a terrible thing that he did to me. It's another concept in human relations and in parenting. It's called quantifying. Meaning sometimes when you don't notice something's happening, it's fine. But when you point something out to someone, you've created a monster. Meaning if you tell someone, you know, your wife is really annoying, she keeps nagging, and then he starts noticing, hey, every second she's nagging. He didn't notice it before. What'd you do? So we'll have a whole class on that. But I'm saying that's what he did to me. By sitting there timing, now every time the kids talk, I notice that I don't get two bites in and two consecutive bites in. I didn't notice that before. So he didn't do me a favor. But at any rate, children need that. They need to talk to their parents. They need to feel like their parents are there for them. People wonder how come so many children get molested and it goes unreported. Well, how would the parent know? The parent comes home after a whole day's worth of work and the parent is wiped. The parent is tired. How much patience can a parent have after a full day's worth of work and then they only have an hour and a half with the kid? So you go through life that way, and who's bringing up the children? So I definitely think that it's something to aspire to. Some women will say, I go crazy if I'm home all day. I need certain hours to go out and work. Fine. Some women feel like I won't feel accomplished. I grew up in a society where I have to have a job. Fine. Some people say, I can't make ends meet if my wife doesn't work. Fine. But then people have to think about the repercussions and the price and see if they can shift in the other direction. Can the woman have a job which allows her to be home more hours, to have more hours to be with the kids? There's a tremendous loss that children don't get normal meals, don't have normal bedtime, don't have normal family time. Children need that. And when you have that, so then a child grows up balanced, grows up feeling loved. How much love can a caretaker give? They know they're not going to see this child after this year. So the first year they could be dedicated. But by the time they've had the daycare for 3 years, they've already met over 100 kids. How much love can you give each kid? And there's an issue of chemistry. And next year he has a new caretaker. Saying so next year it's someone else. I think that it's a price we're paying in this generation because people want to own two cars and people feel they need to have the latest smartphone and people want to have the finest clothing and people want to get what they call get ahead. But the price is in the children and the home. And so people have to reconsider. Do I have to live in Jerusalem or can I live in a cheaper area? Do I have to own two cars? Do I have to have such a large house? Do I need so many clothing? All these expenses add up to a level and a lifestyle of living, which has a tremendous cost.
Isn't living in Jerusalem very important, though? I'm saying just for a Baal Teshuva to be in a place like Jerusalem.
I definitely think that a Chozer B'Teshuva has to be in a Torah atmosphere. I definitely recommend for you guys to stick close to Machon Meir for the next couple of years. And that's a cost worth paying. But you have to realize it's a cost. Saying in the long run, you have to be in a Torah environment. You have to be in a community that's strong and where you have a base medrash where you could learn, where there's learning going on all the time. Yes, but does it have to be Machon Meir? You have to see if you can find somewhere else you're comfortable.
Like a Jewish neighborhood isn't as good as, like let's say there's cities with a religious neighborhood, but the city's generally not religious.
Not only that.
Still the believer to be in Jerusalem. In other words, everywhere.
It doesn't have to be Jerusalem, but I think that over here you want to learn Torah, you have classes all around. Anytime you want, anytime you have minyanim, you have shuls, the environment is a Torah observant community is an environment that propels growth. So it's definitely important for Chozer B'Teshuva to be in such an environment. Okay? You have to do cost benefit analysis. And maybe there are other environments where you could get the same thing. But I definitely agree with you that for Chozer B'Teshuva there's an added weight, there's a greater importance to being in Jerusalem or a similar society. Yes. Yeah, there are other communities.
But there's like a balance with like this like way out between like a two-income household versus a one. Because sometimes like these material things you need. I don't know exactly how it works in Israel, but like in the United States, like if you want to go to good schools and have your kids around good kids, you have to live in a good area. So like one parent can't support a house in this area to send your kids to good schools and have them around kids with like similar values. If you live in a bad area, you go to bad schools, you hang out with like hood rats on the streets, but then you can afford with a one income house.
You know? I don't think it's the same here.
Is it different here?
I think that you have good communities in Yeshuvim where it's cheaper. You have excellent communities with cheap housing. I can give many names, but take Givat Asaf. You have many communities which are very cheap and excellent education and excellent communities, excellent people. I don't think you have to do that here in Israel. I don't think so at all.
It's dangerous for the kids there also.
So that's why I didn't want to give names. But there are other places. There are places in the south, in Be'er Sheva. There are whole communities in Be'er Sheva. Very strong religious communities.
The fool is not so bad.
You have Ofakim. You have a lot of places. I'm saying it depends on what you're looking for. You have a lot of communities that have a very strong central core. Kochav Yaakov. It's much cheaper than Jerusalem. And you have a very good community. Again, each person has to research it when it's their turn. But you definitely have.
You're always here.
Not me, yeah. Yes, Yaakov.
You live in Kochav Yaakov, you have 40 minutes in the bus.
But Talpiot is also 40 minutes.
And the lesson.
Ah,
and
yes.
What about the situation where the mother has to work hard or a lot because the father is in patient?
People have to analyze that. The question was asked, if the father is learning and the mother is working full time, what happens then? You have to really think about it. Some people have parents who could help. Sometimes there are grandparents who help. Sometimes when a person's learning in Bet Midrash, they could still be home for the kids' lunchtime. They could still be home for the kids' supper time. It depends very much on the situation, the way you build it. When I started teaching in Machon Meir at nights, it was after I was giving the kids or participating with the kids dinner. I'd be learning until 5:36. I'd go have dinner with the kids, and then I'd come here at 8:30. So I'm saying I'd be with them through bedtime. From the time that the average person who's working also comes home 5-6 o'clock at night. Same. So there are different situations which permit different things. Sometimes people have a grandparent living with them. Sometimes there are other situations. Each person has to figure out their formula. You're right. It's a definite hardship and it's a definite point to consider.
And it begs the question, what is it? Is the whole machloket on working versus Torah?
What machloket?